scripture comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." But Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." And our second scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and mighty God, your word lights our path and prepares us. It prepares us for the day of your Son. Be with us as we prepare ourselves, our lives, our families, and our homes for the coming of Christmas. May your word help us to prepare and make ready. May it guide us and lead us in the days to come. In your name we pray. Amen. So it will be, and so it shall come to pass. In our scriptures today, we have snapshots. Snapshots of promises that will be and the action taken to make sure that promise occurs. Because that is what we are preparing for in Advent. We're making ready and getting ready for the fulfillment of God's promise to us. But the most interesting things that happen here are the series of seemingly non-linear events that line up just so and bring us Christmas. It brings Christmas and then the ministry of Jesus and brings us to the cross, to the empty tomb, to the resurrection. All of these seemingly just odd events that don't line up do end up lining up. Now, our first scripture has a bit of a comedic interlude between the king and the prophet. Jerusalem is under attack, not by one nation, but by several, because why not? And the king, of course, is rightfully afraid of what will be. But in his fear, in his worry, as he talks to the prophet, God says to him, ask what you will. Ask me a question. Go ahead, ask. And out of mock piety, because as you learn in reading the book of Kings, Ahaz isn't exactly a good ruler. He's one of those kings who gets the non-enjoyable assessment of,
he did evil in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's one of those writings that kind of lets you know, yeah, he was a rotten king. But God gives him this blank check. Ask me anything, Ahaz. Go ahead, ask me anything. And his response is this moment of great piety. Oh, I will not test the Lord. Really? Really? You won't test the Lord, and yet you'll test God's patience every day of your life. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? And yet God still gives him news. God gives him a message. God says, you know what, these kings you're worried about? Don't worry about them. Well, don't worry about the greater future, because I'm going to send a child. I'm going to send a Messiah. And this will all happen long after those two kings are gone. So don't worry about these two kings. Don't worry about what is, because I'm going to talk about the hope of what will be. These kings will be gone and like dust, and the Messiah will come. Now you can hit the fast forward button or the skip ahead on your remote and head over to Matthew to see what's going on. Now, Matthew starts in verse 9 a genealogy of Joseph's family, lining up, making sure that we track all the way from the beginning to the end, through the line of David. Matthew makes sure that there is this linear pull of Jesus to the past. Matthew tells of the culmination of God's promise. He talks about all that God has promised and how now, in this day, in this moment, it has come to pass. Now, what we miss in all of this is God's promise and God's steadfastness. That, yes, God has been silent, but God has never, ever forgotten God's people. But we also forget the unsung hero of the story. Now, Matthew tends to point out for us from Abraham to David, and David to Jekoinah, and from Jekoinah to Joseph. Matthew writes about roughly 42 generations to get from Abraham to Joseph. And then the promise will be fulfilled. Along that timeline, you might have noticed a name if you looked. Ahaz. Yeah, remember him? And his mock piety? But he's only a blip on the radar, because really the main characters are Joseph, who leads to Jesus. It's about patience and faith, and especially about the faithfulness of God. God who has walked with the people, who has seen after them. But let's get to the forgotten man, Joseph. Now, Joseph isn't just an average person. Well, he is, but he isn't. He isn't a superhero. He doesn't have superpowers. But he does do something spectacular. Joseph is a player in this. And to give credit where credit is due, he takes on a very important role. We talk often about Mary's role and how Mary came and stood before God and said, "Here I am, a servant." But we often forget that Joseph too, no, he wasn't pregnant, as Sarah has pointed out several times to me. No, he didn't have to carry a baby for X number of weeks, months, and days. And yet, he was as important in this problem as everyone else. See, when we focus on the greater story, we see Herod shaken in his boots at the talk of this Messiah. We see Mary faithfully moving, and there's one guy always leading the donkey. Joseph. Joseph has a part to play. We need to see who he was in light of his ancestors. He's descended from the kings of old, the kings who led God's people astray, the people who fell away from God. Joseph, in and of himself, and his statement to follow God is a pivotal moment. We see him and all he has to face. He and Mary have much to face in this moment. Here is Mary, his fiance, and yet they don't live together, and she's pregnant. There's a problem. Now, as the whispers of Nazareth begin, we see Joseph in this moment, trying to figure out what he's going to do, how he's going to save face and yet still be a good man, how he's going to quietly dismiss Mary. As the gossip and the gossip mongers start to whisper about not just Mary and who she is, but about him, people are wondering about how Joseph could marry a woman like her, about what this says about him. And Joseph is faced with quite the problem. He can damage Mary. He can harm her irreparably. He can harm this unborn child. He can do so quietly. He can do so publicly. And then an angel comes. And in that moment of questions and doubts, fears, and learning what the next step will be, Joseph gets what he needs. He gets a message from God telling him that this is God's plan. This is part of the linear program, the linear plan of God. And this baby isn't just any baby, Joseph. This baby is the Messiah. Joseph is asked to raise this child as his own, to help Mary every step of the way, to watch over this child. It's not a time where Joseph has a light load in front of him. And yet, like his soon-to-be wife, Mary, he accepts his load, his burden, and takes it up. He goes, marries her, and goes with her to Bethlehem. In Christmas and throughout the year, we often forget that Joseph, too, faithfully said, "Here I am, Lord." Joseph also said, It takes these two people to help raise Jesus. It may have been tough for Mary, who as an engaged woman was pregnant out of wedlock and had to face and deal with the scorn and problems of her community. But Joseph was not immune to those same scorns. He too would have to put up with things, not to the degree as Mary, but he too would have to bear a burden. Christmas gives us this beautiful moment of obedience, where we see both Mary and Joseph saying, "Here I am, Lord. Use me for your plan. Help me to serve you." Think about the role that they play in this story. Without these two, yes, God could have made it happen a different way, but without these two, this story doesn't happen as such. In both cases, both Mary and Joseph, we have a faithful person. Not a grand or extraordinary person, but a normal and average everyday person who has the wherewithal, the ability to say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. I will follow you. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, God, but I know that you will get me through this." They're not extraordinary people, but this story is extraordinary. They were courageous and gutsy, whatever adjectives you want to break out, and that is them. But they are especially faithful and trusting. Faithful that God's plan was happening with them. What this story gives us is an example. It allows us to see the faithful pieces line up just so. It allows us to see living, tangible examples of faithful service to God. Faithful and trusting servants. Servants who believe that God knows what God is doing with them. They might not see the end of the road. They might not see the horizon. But they know that God does. And that God is leading them along. I'm not saying that any of us will have a burden to bear, like Mary or Joseph. But God too is calling every one of us to something just as important. To serve. To meet God where God is. To serve where God is calling us. The question is, will we, like them, faithfully say, "Here I am"? Or will we have excuses, reasons we can later, but not now, follow? Imagine, if you will, if Joseph had said, "You know, God, I really like this plan, except can you maybe not do it right now? Tomorrow, in a month or two, just in a little while, when I'm ready." Imagine if Mary had looked at God, at the angel, and said, "Yeah, I'm a little young for this, maybe in about 5 years. Come back, I'll be ready." Imagine where our story would be if the people in it had not been willing to participate. We laugh at some of these excuses, that if Mary or Joseph had done something differently. But those excuses and those statements are no different than what we say. "Well, I'll do it next year. Well, Not now, but maybe in a little while. A little while becomes a long while very easily. Let me leave you with one final thought to chew on. We sing a lot of songs in Advent and Christmas, songs that we don't sing other times of the year because they're Christmas songs. But there's one song which might as well be a Christmas song. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? Is the chorus. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Christmas isn't just a season. It's a way of being. It's a way of acting. It's a being prepared, a willingness to serve God. Mary and Joseph each offered up a similar song to God. The question is, will we sing it as well? Amen. At this time, the greeters and ushers will come forward to receive the offering this morning.